You know, that's one of the differences between males and females is how we handle temperature. With a guy, anywhere between 60 and 90 is fine. But a female has like a 2-degree range where they're really comfortable. I found it fascinating throughout my life to observe the differences between males and female, between male and female energy. It's an interesting thing to contemplate. Because male and female energy created the whole universe. Everything there is created by two things, male and female energy. And even in our computer, everything is created by pluses and minuses, or zeros and ones, which is male and female again. Male and female, the two energies show up everywhere. And they're different, but we can't live with each other. We can't live without each other. So...
Both
interesting.
True.
Even the gays in their relationship, one is a one polarity and the other is another polarity in the relationship. So anyway, we're doing something different, and the last gathering and this gathering, we're introducing new keys. We introduced the key of eternal life in the last gathering, which is the 12th key. So the reason I introduced that is we had some local classes, and Susie Wong over here asked me a question, and the only way to answer it was to give part of the key to eternal life. And so I thought, well, since I let part of the cat out of the bag, I might as well teach it. Besides, who knows, something may happen to me before I get all the keys out, so maybe I ought to get some more of them out. So anyway, today we're introducing the fifth key, and we've introduced it when I told people I on the keys group that I was going to introduce the fifth key. They were very curious, and they started guessing, so I started giving them hints, and so we've gone back and forth the past 2 or 3 weeks, and they made a little progress, but no one has got it yet. Larry wrote down here about as close on his sheet of paper as anyone got to it. Anyway, they've been beside themselves. I've given them some pretty strong hints, and they still haven't got it. So the group is kind of frustrated. They're at their wits' ends, a couple of them, just banging their head on the wall trying to figure out what in the devil is this key. Because I tell them, I've given them a couple hints, a couple of scriptures, says the key is right here, buried in plain sight. It's right in plain sight, right in front of your eyes, and yet they can't quite see it. They've got the key word for the fifth key. Does anyone remember what the key word is? Has anyone been following along on the keys group? What?
Key word for the fifth,
yeah,
the one we're talking about now,
yeah,
would be glory.
Right, the key word is glory. Now, this all goes back to the days of Moses. In the days of Moses, Moses, according to the Bible, had this tremendous power given to him from God. So Moses goes and does all these miracles, delivers everybody from Egypt with all these plagues and everything, and then crossing the Red Sea and parting the Red Sea. And he does all these marvelous works with the power of God. And he starts feeling after a while almost that having this power was so natural to him that he made a great error at one time. One time they were in the middle of a place called Merkabah, and they were thirsty. They didn't have any water, and everyone was grumbling that they were thirsty. They said, Moses, deliver us. Give us. You got to use your powers to give us some water. And Moses was kind of frustrated with them, and so he took his rod, and he says, all right, I'll give you some water. And he struck the rock, and water gushed out, and they had plenty of water. And then Moses goes up to visit with God on Mount Sinai, and God says something interesting to him. He wasn't pleased. What did he say to him? Does anyone remember? It's the reason he was cited as being unworthy to enter into the land of Canaan. He couldn't go into the promised land because of this mistake. What was his mistake?
Yeah.
Right. God said to him this. He says, when you struck the rock, he says, and delivered water to the Israelites, why did you not give glory to me? So you didn't have power to produce the water. So you can't do anything on your own. He says, that power belongs to me, and you did not give me the glory. Why didn't you do that? And Moses was tongue-tied. Sorry. And God says, because of this, you will not be able to enter the promised land. Now, when I read that the first time, I thought, boy, that seems really harsh. I mean, it seems like just made a minor infringement there, and for that, he can't enter the promised land. Matter of fact, some Bible scholars say, well, God was just looking for an excuse to punish him, to not let him enter the promised land, because that was part of his plan to begin with. He was never going to let Moses enter, because he was going to translate Moses and put Joshua in charge. That was all part of the plan. So he just trumped something up. Well, but that's not what the scripture says. God said to Moses, because you did not give me glory, you will not enter the promised land. So according to God's own words, it wasn't a trumped up thing. It was really the reason, according to the way the scripture is written.
Is that translated correctly? Because it makes God sound very petty.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought, until I understood the principle of glory. Okay, so God is very concerned about glory. Why is that? And what is there behind this principle? There is a principle that brings glory, and Moses violated that principle. And because glory lies behind everything, it lies behind all progress, all creation, all incentive, all everything. Without glory, nothing virtually would be created, or nothing would happen, or nothing would get organized. Because we all do it because of the principle of glory. We all do it because we want recognition, because we want a feeling of achievement. And this was one of the reasons that God created everything. If you're all alone, where is the glory? God had no glory when he was alone. No glory at all. He had to create us in order to have glory. He had to create in order to achieve this. Because glory is the root of all creation. When you think about it. So what is the principle behind it? Now, when I asked the group this, what they started doing was defining terms. Well, glory means this, and glory means that. I said, no, it's not what glory means. That's not what we're after. We're after the principle. Defining a word and giving the principle is two different things. So what is the principle behind glory? I'm going to read you. Yeah.
Excuse me. Will you tell me what you mean by glory again? I know you said not to define it, but tell me again, what do you mean by glory when you use the word?
Glory is basically recognition of ability or achievement.
Thank you.
Okay, when you get recognition for something, you get glory. It's it's in varying degrees. And when people give glory to God, what do they do? They praise him. Oh, God, you are the greatest, you're the holiest, you're the most wonderful, you're perfect. And in all the religious prayers, they're giving all this praise to God, and they're giving glory to God in their own way. May not be the way God really wants it from some of the churches, but they're making an effort to give glory to God.
Said it one time, recognition of achievement or ability or
accomplishment.
Thank you.
All right.